Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
1, 2, 3. It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live.
Oh yeah! Chicka chicka chicka! Woo woo! That's for Mitch! Alright. What up, Knicks fans, and what is up, Barry? Motherfucking D!
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, aka Blanderson Hooper.
Hello, motherfucker!
Oh, that was not your voice.
No.
Whose voice was that?
I don't know, some little boy I found on YouTube, but he had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of excitement in his voice, so I thought that would be a good way to go.
You knew there was no chance you could ever fucking match that excitement for that little boy.
Not without waking up my kids.
Even after 8 straight wins.
No.
Well, I'm just happy that you're not fucking yawning like you were when we started recording tonight. I'm sorry for begging you to do the show tonight.
It's a late night.
If you can't do it tonight, when the fuck can you do it?
Yeah, the Knicks showed up and showed out. The least you could fucking do is get on and record a podcast for your team.
I'm here.
Barely. Well, we'll find out, I guess, how much you are here. Remember, guys, wherever you listen to the show, remember to leave us a 5-star rating and or a positive review. And please, subscribe to the one podcast that keeps all our receipts. We keep them all. And Jay and Barry, you're going to enjoy this one later.
Uh-oh.
All right?
All right.
Barry, did you bet on the game tonight? Or any of these games?
No.
Perfect.
I had to sit. Look, there was enough riding on this game, right? I didn't need to put anything extra on it. Come on.
Well, if you ever change your mind, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And guys, for this wonderful Knicks life, it's so fucking sunny, you might need some sunglasses, all right? What a great segue into the second ad here, all right?
See, I thought you were going to go with like a Trae Young sunglasses reference, but all right.
It's time to make your outdoor experiences better with Kanen. Kanen sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger, and Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. Use the exclusive code KanenCast15, KanonCast15, at Kanen.com, KAENON.com, to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KanenCast15. Kanen, clearly better. All right, all the bullshit is out of the way, guys. Now we can really get down to business. 8 wins in a row. Some predicted we would win 8 wins or less all season. All season. But here we are with 8 wins in a row. And Mike Woodson here at the Garden to see it against the Atlanta Hawks. We are now the 4 seed in the East with 12 games remaining. We somehow miraculously lead the NBA in net rating in April. We're number 6th in 3-point shooting, at least before the Hawks game. We might have moved up.
We probably did move up. The shooting was great today. It's unbelievable, Craig.
It's unreal. The Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Mavs, the Pelicans again, the Hornets, and now the fucking Hawks. 40 points for Randall, 20 each for Rose and IQ. IQ dancing after hitting that 3 in overtime. Prancing and dancing, as Clyde would say. RJ coming through again in the second half and in the clutch, even when he struggled in the first half. Guys, I've been waking up some mornings fucking in tears, thinking about my Knicks from the night before. All right, and I'm not fucking joking around here, and I've said this on Twitter multiple times, I think, by now, but I'm not even fucking kidding. I'm pretty confident Now, you guys and everything around me, it's all fucking... I died. I fucking died, and I am in heaven right now.
You're not alone,
never
Craig.
I have not felt like this in forever. Am I dead? I'm dead, and you guys are just part of my heaven right now.
It feels like heaven because, look, we went into the season thinking the Knicks were going to be dead last. Then, at some point, we were like, you know what? The Knicks have a shot to make the play-in. Then it was like, screw the play-in. We might be able to get sixth place and not have to worry about the play-in. And now, if the season ended today, we'd be sitting with home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. It is unbelievable, Craig, what is going on this year with this Knicks team.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hard.
My nipples have been hard for 8 wins already.
My nipples are fucking cutting everything in their path right now, all right? I'm walking around. I picked up my kids from school today. It's a little chilly out. Everybody is looking at my nipples because they could see them busting through my shirt. It's fucking and that's heaven. If that's not heaven, I don't know
what is.
And let me remind you guys of this. I said we keep our receipts, right? Well, here we go. You're saying 34 and 38, Barry?
Yeah.
I'm going 38, 34.
What? 38 and 34?
You heard me right. Yeah.
You predict they're going to be 38 and 34?
They're getting better as the season goes, yeah.
Yeah, but
they're all these other teams. 24 and 18?
These other teams are going to ramp up as they get closer to the playoffs. I think the competition is going to get harder.
You don't think they can go 24 and 18 the rest of the way?
24 and 18, I think, is pushing it.
All right, Jay, what's your fucking prediction? Fucking Mr. Know-It-All here.
Yeah.
30 and 42.
What are you, fucking crazy?
What do you mean?
It's an awful prediction, Jay.
What? Okay. Right. Mark these. Write these down, Craig. Somewhere.
They're going to play 10 games under 500 the rest of the way.
The minutes are going to take a toll on some of these guys, and I also, you know, I'm taking into account the possibility that there's a trade and that'll upset some chemistry.
Barry's is the most realistic viewpoint. I'm a little positive, and Jay, you're just like you just think they're going to take a nosedive because that is not a good 16 and 26 the rest of the way is fucking awful.
Yeah. I mean, listen. It's
what
not
a perfect
great,
synopsis of the
it's
three.
It's better
of
than
us
what still. We've been getting.
Well, what do we have to say for ourselves now?
Shame on me.
I was wrong. I mean, come on. What are you going to do?
It feels so good for you to be wrong about that. So confident about it.
Well, it's true. I mean, what Jay said in that clip about, I think I said it. I said it. About other teams ramping up as the playoffs get closer. I didn't. You thought the Knicks were going to get better. I didn't. I didn't think they were going to get better. I didn't see how they could. And yet, I mean, look at Julius's stretch over these games. Another 40-point night tonight. 6 for 8 from three. This guy, the leader that he has become, it warms my heart, Craig.
And now he is being talked about in MVP conversations, which I think is absolutely crazy. I mean, all NBA is maybe a little more realistic, but some people are putting him in their top 3 or 4 for league MVP.
Well, look, he'll get a vote or two, I think, for it. But I mean, he's not going to win it. But yeah, all NBA. I mean, that you should write it down now. I mean, the way he's on the tear right now is amazing. That the fact that he has brought this team up to fourth place right now. You know, all that stuff goes into it. And I mean, all NBA is a real possibility. Come on.
And guys, somehow without Alec Burks, without Mitchell Robinson, which it's been a while without Mitch, but without those guys, suddenly this offense is clicking. We know they're a great defensive team. And that was their bread and butter for the whole season. That's what won them games. But now all of a sudden, you're combining an actual legitimate NBA offense with a great defense. They are suddenly clicking, and I think they've found their identity.
Yeah, because, I mean, look tonight. They gave up 100 points in the first 37 minutes of this game. You know, it wasn't the Knicks' defensive identity that, you know, we've been used to. But like you said, when they need to push back and guys have to step up, like Rose has been doing, like Quickley's been doing, it's keeping them in these games. And yeah, where they used to let go of the rope, you know, that we talked about last season and the season before that, and even the beginning of this year, now they've got that closing mentality. They're not gonna let you walk all over them, and they're not gonna let you take a win away from them.
Yeah, there's two keys that I think is going on with their offense. One is that everybody knows their role, and everybody knows what they do well. Right? We're seeing RJ parked in his spot where he likes to be. We know that everybody on that team views Randle as the guy now. Like, it's for real now. He's one of the best players in the NBA this season. So everyone is deferring to him when they need to, right? Bullock's shot. I haven't appreciated Bullock all season until this stretch, where his shots are like darts, and he knows exactly what his role is. It's to be on that wing or on the side shooting threes, and just to sit out there and let Derrick Rose penetrate, let Randle penetrate, let these other guys penetrate, and then they kick him out to Randle. They kick it out to Bullock, right? RJ knows his role in that second half, you know, that he's a go-to guy with Randle.
He knows that he's needed.
Yeah, everybody knows exactly what they are supposed to be doing out there, and everything is clicking. I'm amazed at how they are penetrating and kicking the ball out and getting all these wide open threes. And everyone is in their spot every time. They're in their spot that they like and they hit the highest percentage from. It's amazing to watch.
And, you know, going back to Randle about the leader, you know, that he's become, you know, it, most importantly with that, he's built up the credibility to be that, you know, his play on the court. But in addition to that, it's leading the guys to the gym. You know, when they get into these new cities for their away games, it's pulling RJ aside at halftime when he's struggling, you know, shooting the ball in the first half and saying, you know, we need you in the second half. You're going to have a big second half. He's got the respect of his teammates. He's got the respect of the fans. He's got the respect of the league now. And how long were people saying that Julius Randle can never be a number one option on a winning team? And yet here he is proving that he can be.
Speaking of receipts, do you have any other clips?
No, I don't have that other clip.
Oh, okay. So
Saying that Julius Randle
and Barry begging on Randle at, before the year started? So you mysteriously you don't have that though.
Isn't he funny, Barry?
I'm just checking. I just want to make sure.
As if we were alone in that, or we even pretended.
I was wrong. You've got the
you
tape
didn't
of
know
that.
What you were fucking talking about, Jay.
Okay.
All right, that's the difference. You were talking out of your ass, and you happened to. You said that Randle should be starting over Obi because he was the most experienced guy on this team. All right,
so
you didn't say
so
he was going to have
wrong,
this type
we've
of season.
We've got the tape of it.
You just said that he was the most experienced
but
guy on the team.
When you were wrong,
that's not a fucking groundbreaking statement.
I was talking out of my ass. I remember that.
Well, you're right. The season Randle's having has proven that he's the most experienced guy on this team, because that's what you said.
No, I didn't say the most experienced.
He said he was the most accomplished.
I said the most accomplished.
Fine. The most accomplished player. Yeah. Is that what you meant? This is what you meant? What's happening right now in front of our
he
eyes?
He's the best player on the team.
Okay. Great. I'm sure everyone's really impressed with that, Blandy. Mm-hmm.
You didn't say it. I said it.
You thought he was so accomplished that he was going to lead the team to a fucking abysmal second half, finishing the year at 30-42.
I'm just saying.
You must have thought he was really good. You must have thought Julius Randle was really fucking good to lead the team to that record.
I don't know. Seems like I touched a nerve.
I don't think so. And how much more confident are you guys late in the games right now? I was even confident when we were down 8. Or I think you texted Jay. You were like, hey, if we lose, are we doing the podcast? And I was like, we're winning this shit.
Yeah, you did write that. In all caps, right? I think in all caps.
Yeah, we're winning this shit, dude. We know what we're doing down the stretch. We know when to turn it on.
You know,
we
it's
lock it down defensively in the four.
I think somebody's going to make a shot. You don't necessarily know who it's going to be, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's bad parts to that because we don't have like a, you know, a go-to guy at the end necessarily. But I think it's great that any one of them could step up and hit a big shot.
Yeah, I think that's part of what's going on is that they're all showing the ability to do that. And everybody is hitting those outside three-point shots other than whoever's playing center for us.
That
yeah, and the thing is, the Knicks are just
end.
More... The quickly three at the end was
I mean, that was deep.
Oh, it felt great. And like, Craig, you tweeted out, you were dancing around your living room just like quickly was dancing to the bench.
Oh, he had a couple moments where he was dancing around after threes.
It felt great. Yeah, that put him up 10 at that point, right?
Yeah.
With that shot? That was over. It was a nail in the coffin. But yeah, the Knicks are just more and more, they're making the right play out there, you know, and everybody's doing it, you know, unless you're Alfred, you know, from time to time. He doesn't always do the right play, but
it's brutal
but
when Alfred's out there because he ends up as one of those guys open from the three and they swing. There was that one play where RJ swung at
wide
him
open,
and I was like, oh.
If he's wide open, I don't mind him taking it.
He
even him.
28%
he's wide open.
From three.
I know.
Come on.
I know. But when he's wide open, you know, he'll hit it from time to time. He's probably, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he'll hit it from time to time.
Yeah, one out of four times.
But Derrick Rose has been key as well, right? With Alec Burks out. Alec Burks, if you remember, was finishing our close games at the point guard because Tibbs did not want Elford doing that. But now with Alec is out, Derrick Rose has come up huge.
Derrick Rose is so important to have out there. I got nervous when Derrick Rose had to go back to the bench because he, you know, he's our leader out there, you know, obviously aside from Julius, but when he's got the ball, he's just so much more confident. And you're so much more confident in him that he's going to make the right play. Plus, he was shooting the ball well as well. So you had another, you know, big-time offensive threat, not just somebody that's going to see the floor and orchestrate the offense, but somebody that can do a lot of damage. And he's been so key down the stretch of these games.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's a running theme all season that Thibodeau keeps starting Elfrid Payton, but Thibodeau really showed when Rose got his sixth foul that he preferred to go without a point guard.
Yeah.
Late in that game with he let Quickly run the point and RJ come back in. But he kept his starter on. This is his fucking starter.
That's the way it's been. Payton sits on the bench in the fourth, and Payton knows that role now. That's his role. You sit on the bench over there, Payton. You keep to yourself, and you know the rest of the guys will finish it off.
Thanks he knows his role is to start the game and to start the third quarter and stay in as long as possible without looking too awful. And then he comes out and he doesn't play again for the rest of the half.
Tibbs is a smart guy, Craig.
And I also do you like what Tibbs is doing with Randall's minutes
He
lately?
Switched it around. Yeah. He did. Yeah. Where he sits him earlier. Yeah. In the first, where Randall used to play the whole first quarter.
Yes.
And now we'll take him out. I do like that. It's been
around like
for
6 minutes in the first quarter. He puts Obi in.
I love that actually. And then could judge when he wants to bring Randall back, you know, depending on the amount of rest he wants to give him and what the game is looking like.
I feel like there was an obvious shift with Randall when Thibodeau started doing that. That's when Randall went on this crazy streak that he's on right now, where what's he averaging over this winning streak? Mid-30s.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And when you think about it, it was only like two episodes ago where we were talking about where we were going over the statistics where he was down to like shooting in like 30-something%, other than like three games where he had good shooting games. And now all of a sudden it's a complete turnaround.
Oh my God. Complete. He's playing the best basketball he has all year.
I mean, it went from looking like the minutes had taken a toll and he was slowing down and he was struggling. And now he's just on a tear.
He's shooting the ball so well. It's great. What I was going to say about Thibodeau is, you know, what was the big knock on Thibodeau besides playing, you know, heavy minutes was that, Thibodeau's going to come in this season and he's going to go out and he's going to try to win every game this season by any means possible, right? Forget player development, forget this. He's going to try to win. And look what happened. The Knicks are winning. You know, so shame on us.
And look at what Julius Randle developed
God forbid,
into.
Yeah, God forbid you have fucking a coach MVP out here that wants to win every game. So thank you, Tom Thibodeau, for instilling this winning mentality and for putting Knicks fans in their place, you know, who were looking for another tanking season.
You know, he gave Obi some minutes in the third quarter, and Obi actually, you know,
he looked good.
He played well. He got 6 rebounds, I think. He was doing what he needs to do. He doesn't need to be that offensive guy, which I think he struggles with not being. But if you notice over the past few games, he's just rebounding the ball really well. He's playing solid defense.
Looks more
comfortable. He was really active out there.
That's all he needs to do when he gets out there. Barry, do you remember before the season when you were telling me who you could bet on for MVP and what the odds were? And I asked you about Julius Randle. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you were like, they don't even list him.
Right.
You couldn't even bet on him if you wanted to.
Well, hey, who was it? Was it ESPN or was it some other, or was it Bleacher Report that didn't even have him in the top 100?
The
top 100 players in the NBA, Craig.
And now what is he?
Oh, he's a top 15. 10?
Top 15?
Easily.
We have a top 15 NBA player who is 26 years old on this Knicks roster.
And it doesn't feel like a stretch to say it because every facet of his game has improved to a level that is all NBA level. From the point scoring to the rebounding to the assists to the free throw percentage, his 3-point percentage, everything. I mean, does he turn over the ball? Yes, but his usage rate is so high.
Exactly.
And we'll take it. We'll live with it.
He still gets me nervous late in games bringing the ball up.
He had a lot of turnovers tonight. I mean, the whole Knicks team had a bunch of turnovers tonight. It was
sickening. Well, that last shot at the end of the game, he didn't even get that off.
No.
For the buzzer.
I mean,
onto that for way too long.
Yeah, he definitely likes it from the other side of the court, but that's no excuse. You got to get off a clean shot.
Listen, just be grateful they didn't turn the ball over down there. All right. I mean, to have all those abilities he has, blessed to be able to bring the ball up, you know, and handle the ball like he does.
Yeah.
I'm sold on Julius Randle.
Oh.
I'm officially sold on him. You know, I think a few weeks ago I was like, well, I wouldn't extend him this summer. There's no reason to until next year. But I think this is the new Julius Randle. This doesn't feel like a fluke.
No.
Like you say, he's improved across the board.
Absolutely.
And he is so good.
It's going to end up costing them a lot more money, though, in the long run now.
Hey, whatever it costs.
That's whatever, sure. Dude. We've been waiting for a fucking star for so long.
I mean, we got him for next season, so that's fine.
And you know how much sweeter it tastes? The fact that, you know, it's not even like we signed him and he had this breakout season. We lived with him, you know, through last year, right? And we got to see him grow as a Knick to the season he's having this year. It's just that much sweeter to me.
How good this feels right now, winning like this after the struggles we've been through. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. These other fans, they can't feel this way. Like, a Nets fan does not feel this way when they win a few in a row. They feel nothing compared to us. They feel nothing. This feels like, I told you before, I'm sitting and eating cereal in the morning, fucking tearing up, thinking about how this team has come this far so quickly and how they're playing at the end of games, how Julius is playing at the end of games. I'm getting tears in my eyes.
Dude, and let's not forget how important this game was. It wasn't just the fact that they're trying to go from 7 wins to 8 wins. This was the most important game that they've played all season to take that fourth place spot away from the Hawks. And they weren't playing not to lose, which, you know, you get in these long win streaks and sometimes you play like that, you're timid. They had to steal this game back from the Hawks the way that this game was going down the stretch. Yes, did some breaks fall the Knicks' way when Trae Young got hurt? And they didn't have to deal with him on the court the last quarter. Yes, but you can't take that away from them. I mean, the Hawks still had a bunch of shooters out there on the court.
I'm not going to say I was not a little happy when that happened.
Well, hey, at first I was like, maybe this is karma because Taj got hurt. Noel got hurt and this and that. But no, you can't take it away from them.
Whatever it takes at this time of year, dude, this was a playoff level game.
Absolutely. If there ever was one.
Bodies were falling left and right. And we kept getting down by 8-9 points. Right? Or more. And we kept fighting back. And then we were up by like 6 with a few minutes left when Blandy fucking texted us a fucking graphic he made for Twitter, 8 wins in a row, asking us what we think. And I swear, you ruined the end of that fourth quarter for me. Because I was like, I'm not even, I kind of saw what you texted, but I was like, I'm not going to look at this, put it down. And then I sat there. As the points dwindled down, I was like, fucking Blandy, you jinxed the whole fucking end of the game here.
Please, that's not real.
But we blow it, right? We go into overtime, and we fucking go up 10 within 2 minutes of overtime.
We knocked it out of the park in overtime once again.
With Emmanuel Quickley, rookie leading the way along with Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, all young guys, 26 and under.
Emmanuel Quickley, Craig, has not only cemented himself as one of the top tier guys in his own draft class of this year, but the flashes that he shows you, he looks like he's going to be a very, very special player. You know, just the things that he can do on the court.
We have 3 guys right there, maybe more, but at least Julius, RJ, and Quickley that are showing the ability to come up huge at the end of games.
They're doing what it takes to win.
Obviously. When's the last time we lost, Barry?
April 7th, Craig.
Oh, wow.
April 7th. And who do we play next?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. We can win any single night.
Toronto. See, I'm ready. Barry wasn't ready.
Jay, do you want to adjust your final prediction for the season, or you want to stick with
30 wins? Should I stick with 30 wins, you think? Yeah, I'll stick with that. I'll go with that.
All right.
I'm going to stick with it. What do we got? 12 games left?
12 games left. What do you think they're going to go? Don't go through the... Just take a wild stab.
They're the hottest team in the NBA by far right now.
A minimum of 39 wins. At the very least, they split.
What a season. The potential to win 40 games this year.
In a 72-game season.
If it was a full season, mid-40s for wins possibility. What a turnaround.
Historic.
I'm telling you, I'm dead.
Historic. Not only is it historic in Knicks' own franchise history, I think this is historic for the NBA when Vegas predicted a team to finish dead last and they make the playoffs. I think it's historic. I think it's been 34 years or something since that's happened.
The fourth seed. our Knicks.
And Craig, think about this. Think about last season. Prior to last season, with all these new signings that they had between Marcus Morris and Julius Randle and Taj, and all those press conferences that they had talking about, oh, we're a bunch of dogs. We're going to come out and fight. We're going to be the 90s Knicks. This team this year, nobody said shit. They didn't say anything. They didn't talk a big game. They showed it to you on the court this year. This is the team. And they did it with their actions.
Yeah, and the press hates it. They're so upset there aren't more press conferences. That Leon isn't talking. That World Wide West isn't talking. They don't need to fucking talk.
And Craig, the other thing is the narrative around the NBA about this Knicks team. Everybody's saying you do not want to face the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. You're hearing the coaches saying it. You're hearing national media say it, Craig, that you don't want to face this Knicks team. Because even though, you know, most likely they'll lose, you know, if they're playing, you know, the Nets or the Sixers or the Bucks or even Boston, maybe they'll lose. You don't want to face the Knicks because they're going to put you through a grueling series.
Of all the 4-10 teams, of course they're the team you don't want to face.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't, they're not a pushover. You know, like they may not win a game if they were to go up against, say, the Nets or the Bucks or Philly in the first round, but that's not going to be, if it were a sweep, it wouldn't be an easy one, that's for sure.
No, I mean, look at their head-to-head matchups with those teams already, though. Even the game that they lost against Philly and Nets, yeah, super close, going the distance.
I mean, the last two against the Nets, I mean,
it's a bounce this way or a bounce that way.
They're not an easy out at this point.
No, and the way they play defensively and them being a physical team, you think fucking KD, James Harden, these guys who are barely playing right now are going to want to step into the playoffs against that team?
And thank God that fans are back in the building. Not even just for the playoffs coming up. Just the fact that the fans get to show their recognition and their appreciation for what this Knicks team is doing. And now especially that this win streak finds itself on this long homestand and that every game now is ending with a standing ovation from the crowd. You know, it like you said, brings tears to my eyes, Craig. It really does.
It is.
Teary eyes and hard nipples.
Whoa.
You guys saw the gym I built in my basement, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by the way, I built that right before this streak started happening.
Okay.
And it did cross my mind, all right?
Oh, jeez, here we go.
I know, this is crazy.
It is
but
crazy.
In the 90s, when I had my best times as a Knick fan, every single game, I had my little weight bench in my room, my weights. And I worked out for every game, okay? Every game against those Pacers, Jordan and the Bulls, all those heated playoff battles. I would work out during the game. And guess what I've been doing this whole streak? Every game I'm working out during it.
It's holy shit, it's you,
that's
man.
Why I'm in fucking, that's why I'm telling you, I died.
Holy crap.
And I went back to the 90s. I went back to the 90s. Nipples are hard and they're puffed out. They're juiced up.
It's a hard nip life.
Pretty soon, I'm going to be doing it to Mariah Carey music videos.
Taking it all the way back.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Okay, scrambled Playboy, all right, on the TV.
It's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
The Victoria's Secret issue.
Right, Shape magazine that was delivered to my mom.
Oh, jeez.
Which I cut out pictures of and put them in shoeboxes.
The fitness magazine.
and then when you're all done, you say,
wow, this feels so good. This feels so good, man. Wow.
My mom would always be like, why am I missing pages? So went from page 84 to 87. What a
Shape magazine. Oh, jeez.
All right, y'all hear that music. It is time for everyone's favorite part of the show. The only man who predicted that Julius Randle was the most accomplished Nick.
Listen.
It is time for the news with Blanderson Hoop, presented by Clarkson Avenue Crumb Cake Company, who is changing the crumb cake game. Their crumb cake of the month is Kitty's Carrot Crumb. Why don't you tell them about it, Jay?
Well, it's a carrot cake with Saigon cinnamon. It's got fresh carrots, plump crumbs, okay, and the finest all-natural ingredients.
And don't forget about the real bourbon vanilla cream.
Oh, no, you don't want to forget about that. You don't want, I mean, they have incredible cream. Their cream is just, there's a lot of it, and it's just delicious.
Does this cake explode in your mouth when you eat it?
It does. It does. That, the, it's combination of the crumbs and the cream, it just, I mean, if you're not careful, it'll get all over your face.
Oh, and there's no better way to finish. From holiday gift boxes to their world-famous crumb cakes. They even have a crumb cake of the month subscription. Could you imagine if I had those crumb cakes in high school? It would be just be unstoppable.
Game over.
Where was I? You can get a crumb cake of the month.
Still no build your own crumb subscription. Cake, though, Greg.
No, it's unbelievable. For 3, 6, or 12 months, go to clarksandhavecrumb.com. Use promo code HardNixLife for 23% off your order. Take it away, Jay. I don't know what fucking news there could be other than talking about the Knicks being the hottest team in the world right now, but you can try.
I got a couple of things. First off, 3 positive COVID tests in the most recent testing. So there's that. Obviously, they've kept that number really low. James Harden may not play now until the playoffs because of his hamstring injury.
Oh, well, we all feel really bad about that, right?
Oh, Craig, do you realize, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this brings me to a thought, the Knicks have won more games in a row than KD, Kyrie, and James Harden have played games together this
season.
7,
right? They've played 7 games together?
That's right.
Did you tweet that out, Barry?
I'm about to. I was waiting for the win to happen. I didn't want to jinx it.
Yeah, so you got KD's thigh bruise and you've got Harden's hamstring. So you got that going on.
And how bad are those injuries? Are they just saving them for the playoffs?
Like, dude, you've barely played any basketball in 2 years. What's going on? How bad could it be? Somebody need him in the thigh? I don't know. So you got that. Not much on the court. There's that. I don't know if you saw the run that Steph Curry's been on. He's hit like 78 threes over the last 11 games, which is just, he's been hitting from anywhere.
And I saw him everywhere. In that Boston Celtics game. He was ridiculous.
Yeah. Nike announced that it is not going to renew its endorsement contract with the estate of Kobe Bryant. So his wife, Vanessa, and the estate are now free to negotiate with other companies about, you know, Kobe shoes going forward. After the George Floyd verdict the other day, the NBA commissioner and the head of the NBA Players Association put out a joint statement together regarding the verdict. The NBA had actually warned teams, or not warned them, but told them to be prepared and told the players to be prepared for the verdict in case it came back with, I guess, Derek Chauvin being found not guilty and what they might have done in the wake of that. But obviously that's not what happened. And then the big thing is, did you guys hear about Sterling Brown of the Rockets? Have you heard this?
No. Oh, is that the guy that was assaulted?
Yeah, so the Rockets were in Miami for, I guess, they were in Orlando, then they went to Miami, I think, for a back-to-back with the Heat, or maybe it was the back-to-back with Orlando and the Heat, and a bunch of the Rockets players went out to a strip club. A strip club which is called the Booby Trap. And I guess Sterling Brown afterwards was leaving, got into a van thinking it was the van that he had called to get back to the team hotel. Turns out it wasn't. Got into an altercation with 3 people and ended up with some pretty bad injuries. Apparently he was like hit in the back of the head with a glass bottle, suffered a whole bunch of lacerations to his face, had to go to the hospital, was bleeding quite a bit. Kevin Porter Jr. was involved in, apparently, in terms of trying to help him. The police are looking into or investigating the crime itself, but now the league is looking into what was going on because they're not supposed to be out
at
of the team hotel.
Yeah.
So they are now investigating violations of team protocols, COVID protocols.
Wow.
I like the name Booby Trap when I saw
it's
that.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
who doesn't want to be trapped by some boobies?
Exactly. The Booby Trap. And then last thing, the Mavs, I think they won tonight. They were winning with only a couple of minutes to go. And if that's the case, then they are at 31-26, which, by the way, is not as good as the Knicks record. And that's the way the basketball bounces.
How good did it fucking feel, by the way, to beat? Because we don't think we got to talk about this.
About to beat the Mavs?
Those fucking babies, Luka and KP.
No, and that was, you know, again, the first of two national games in the span
in one
of,
weekend.
You know, 3 days. Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic.
Guys, you want to listen to some voicemails and some Twitter questions? All right. All right, get ready for this string here, guys. Ready? Here we go.
Oh, my God, what a win.
By the way, I have to say, this is from Sunday, all right?
Do we get eight voicemails for eight wins?
Six games in a row. Unbelievable. Overtime wins. Hey, guys.
Then this morning, Ralph.
Hi, guys. Seven in a row. Very excited about that. I'm hoping for eight today. This is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Ralph.
Hope yeah, happy birthday.
Birthday win. Thanks. Bye.
It's a good birthday for Ralph.
Happy birthday, Ralph. Great birthday. Ralph, after the game.
Knicks win! Happy birthday to me! Woohoo!
Party at Ralph's. Party at Ralph's. Brandon from Georgia.
Yo. Hey, no. It's your boy Brandon from the GA. Apparently, I can't text. My bad.
Yeah, Brandon. Brandon is texting me after the game on the same voicemail line, which we've said you could do. But how could you not want to call after the eighth straight win, Brandon?
And Brandon, think about our show. You know, it's a podcast, Brandon. You know, we need the audio. You know, yeah, Craig could sit here and read your text, but we listen to Craig talk for an hour already. We want to hear some other voices.
I got excited. But for real, 8-0. We're number 4 in the East. This is huge. I don't know how to feel right now.
That's a drop, if I don't know one, Jay.
I don't know how to feel right now?
This is huge. I don't know how to feel right now.
Oh, okay. This is huge. Okay, got it.
This is huge. I don't know how to feel right now. I don't. My daughter's sleeping next door, so I can't really yell. But I didn't fucking know!
It's back to the whispering, Barry.
12 years on Twitter wants to know, how many rounds are the Knicks getting through this 2021 playoff?
Wait, we're up to Twitter's questions?
Yeah.
You just went straight from the voicemails.
I'm sorry, you can interrupt the show now because you didn't get your fucking Twitter sound effect in?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, we'll do it. It's never too late.
No, you're taking Twitter questions?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Well, we need that.
Jay, you are the fucking worst sometimes with the drops. The worst. You're just supposed to fucking do them.
Well, you didn't give me the opportunity to.
Then you fucking forget about it and you move on,
nope.
Jay. Barry, can you believe this?
I can't, Craig.
I can't believe
he
what's going
wants to
on
cram
here.
These things in there. It's like an Alfred Payton drive to the hoop when nobody's asking.
Shut your mouth, funny guy.
Okay. Now you may proceed.
12 years asks, how many rounds are the Knicks getting through this year's playoffs?
Well, I mean, we kind of answered that. If they stay number 4, they can move on to the second round. If they drop out of that, I don't think they have any chance, really.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if they're at the 4, they have got a good shot of moving on. I don't see why not.
Yeah. I mean, their home record is significantly better than their road record. So that, you know, as much as we talked about how 6 is so important because they don't want to be dealing with that playing game, 4 is really important. And now that they have a realistic shot to stay there, it's super important because of that home court advantage.
Tommy J, question. I'd love you to address on the pod. All right. That's what we're doing right now. Why aren't we a top story on ESPN? Last I checked, we were in New York, not Memphis. I honestly don't get it. First of all, who the fuck watches ESPN? I did notice that obviously during that Mavs-Knicks game, all they fucking talk about is Luka and Dallas. And right after the game, after we beat them, the top story on SportsCenter or whatever was right after the game was all about Luka, as if they were assuming he was going to win that game. So they had all this stuff prepared to talk about Luka and how amazing he is. Barry, they just hate the Knicks or what's going on?
Look, there's definitely buzzing going on about the Knicks, but they're not the lead. You know, you still have two powerhouses in the East, okay? And the Bucks aren't that far behind them. Now, is the Knicks story tremendous? Yes. But then look over in the West. You got Phoenix Suns who went from a bottom tier team that transformed themselves into a top team. So there's a lot of spotlight that the Knicks are, you know, that the Knicks have to kind of navigate for, but they'll get their due. I mean, now 8 wins in a row, taking sole possession of 4. This was a huge win for multiple reasons. You will hear a lot about the Knicks going forward.
And the other thing to think about is that even though Julius Randle is having an MVP caliber season, right, and he's an all-star, he is still not considered a star, right? A star that's going to draw viewers to games and to shows. Luka is. A lot of these teams have stars that are like that. They are celebrities. Julius Randle is not that. And that is, I think, a big reason why they don't focus on the Knicks, because we don't have that star. We don't have that star.
Yeah, I mean, look at Damian Lillard. He's like, it feels like he's first starting to get the respect to be mentioned in, like, you know, the top 5 names in the league or top 10 names in the league. And he's been doing it for a long time already. So Randall's going to need to, you know, put a few of these seasons back to back to back before he gets that type of notoriety and recognition. But look, he's getting it here, and that's all that matters.
Does Julius Randle not look fucking amazing with that hair? Those braids?
I didn't love it when I first saw it.
What did you love about it? Which hairstyle did you like?
I like the tight-knit braids.
Oh, you like the tight-knit braids? Really?
Yeah.
I like this look. He just looks like I would not fuck with Julius Randle, and that's what I want our Knicks to be like. He's like a jacked Emmanuel Quickly out there. Right? It's like you put Quickly's hair on his head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now you love it because they can't lose with that dude.
Oh, please. I don't care what he does.
Have you thought about doing that?
You know, not until you mention it, but maybe we should all do it.
I think we all need playoff
all Knicks fans
Randle braids.
That's cultural appropriation. We can't do that.
Hmm. What does that mean?
It wouldn't go over well.
That's what that means, cultural appropriation?
Don't they wear like beards? And when Harden was in Houston, didn't they wear beards for Harden?
It would mean that we're white. We wouldn't. It wouldn't be taken well if we did that.
Wearing braids?
Yeah, that's a cultural thing. It's cultural appropriation. No good.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Take I it did not me. Mean. I did not I, mean to
I know
appropriate.
No, you don't want to appropriate someone else's culture.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for the show today. You learned something. What other show do you get education like this? From an actual educator.
That's right.
All right.
State certified one. So if I say it, I mean, you know it's coming from
state certified educator.
Yeah. Someone who knows what they're talking about.
Sometimes. Not about Knicks records.
No, but about Julius Randle.
He is accomplished.
He's actually more accomplished now.
All right, guys, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to itsahardnickslife@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @hardnickslife. You can follow Barry @BarryDworkin, and you can follow Jay @LandyHooper. And as always, you can call us
at 516-33-MESH-1.
What are you, in the middle of tweeting out that Durant thing? Or
no, I tweeted that out a couple of minutes ago.
What are you doing on your phone right now? Can't wait till the end of the show?
No, I can't. I mean,
what the fuck are you doing?
I saw that the show had gotten a couple of mentions. I was curious what it was. And it's, I think, just about how we've got to change the name of the show and the song. You know, which we've gotten before
it.
On like
we
little
are changing
runs
it.
That the Knicks have gone.
This is we got our new show name.
Which is?
You'll find out in about a minute.
Well, all right.
So you know it, but you haven't told us? When will we find out?
In a minute!
Oh. Do we want the schedule or no?
All right, give me the schedule, Blandy.
Saturday, we are home for Toronto. And then next week, it's just a game Monday and Wednesday. That's it. Home for Phoenix on Monday and home for Chicago on Wednesday. So it's an interesting week. Only 2 games.
I mean, and the Knicks need some rest, I think. So I think that's good to get that. And obviously, you know, we got to be looking to at least win 2 of those 3. But who knows against the Suns?
Yeah, the week after that is only 2 games. Oh, no, it's not. I can't read a calendar. Forget it. I hate when they do that shit.
No, there's four games the following week.
Remember, guys, go on to wherever you listen to the show, leave us a 5-star rating and or positive review. Jay, are you recovered from that shit story? Any nightmares about it?
Well, we did have a game there yesterday, and I had to pee at one point, and I said, I'm not going over there.
You didn't want to see if it was taken care of?
No, I mean, I know it was taken care of. It had to have been. But I was traumatized by it. I was not going back there. It's going to take a little bit of time before I'm willing to use that bathroom.
You would have walked in there and started getting flashbacks.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, if you walk, you know, if no, you don't want to go right back to the scene of a murder right away. You know, you don't want to do that.
Was the smell bad?
Was it bad?
Yeah, I don't think we ever talked about it. Was the smell, like, putrid?
You really have to get into this?
I mean, when I opened the door, I didn't, like, I held my breath because obviously on the outside something was wrong.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Just in case.
I fell in a cesspool when I was a teenager. And
really?
Oh, yeah.
What?
And I smelled like
I
had
this
smell I couldn't get off me for weeks. It was very upsetting.
Barry, do you remember this?
No.
When the hell was this?
That's maybe a story for another day.
Gosh.
Wow. It was at sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway
camp circa 1992. Somewhere around there. Wearing my brand new Air Jordans.
Ooh.
Playing a little post-lunch frisbee.
Manhunt?
Frisbee.
Oh, frisbee.
Went up to catch the frisbee up near the edge of the woods. Plop into a hole. Open.
Plop is for that's the right word to use, plop.
Talk about a shit story. All right, guys. That shit story was presented by betonline.ag. And until next time, it is a wonderful
Knicks
life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.